Welcome to Golf Smarter Mulligans, your second chance to gain insight and advice from the best instructors featured on the Golf Smarter podcast. Great golf instruction never gets old. Our interview library features hundreds of hours of game improvement conversations like this that are no longer available in any podcast app.
I think people with arthritis, as well as a lot of other musculoskeletal problems, can expect to play and play for many, many years. And I think actually we encourage people that have those problems to play because we feel like the activity is good for them. You know, joints love to be moved, and it's valuable, and the activity and the exercise is very valuable for helping to kind of maintain the quality and the nutrition that those joints need.
With another interview from the archives of Golf Smarter, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to Golf Smarter for members only, Scott.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I guess it's strange for you to be on this side of the Golf Smarter podcast. You are a Golf Smarter member. I appreciate that very much.
I am a rabid Golf Smarter member as well.
Well, we'll get shots for that. Don't worry. We'll get that taken care of. And you reached out to me because of the program that you're working on and with to see if it was an interesting topic to bring to Golf Smarter members. And I actually thought it was, and I appreciate you reaching out. We'll get into all the details of that in a moment, but you're also there with a colleague of yours, Jeff Ciolek. Jeff, welcome to Golf Smarter for members only.
Thanks very much, Fred.
I appreciate it. So let's start off with establishing, and please identify which one's going to answer this, but let's establish what the Cleveland Clinic does and what you do for them and how it relates to golfers.
Well, the Cleveland Clinic, Fred, is a large nonprofit multi-specialty academic center in Cleveland, Ohio. And I am a member of the rheumatology division at the Cleveland Clinic, which is a 29-man division. But we also are under it's called the Orthopedic Rheumatologic Institute. So we partner with our friends in orthopedic surgery. And we, for all intents and purposes, collaborate on a number of different topics and clinical programs. I had been involved with a number of sports injuries to myself over a period of years. And I'm what you call athlete in my mind, but not in my body. And about eight years ago, I had a fairly significant wrist injury and required a surgical procedure and was actually looking around for a surgeon to do that procedure, but not only a surgeon to do the procedure, but a surgeon who knew about golf and the ups and downs, how quickly I would be able to rehab, and also therapists and other people that could really become a member of my team. And it was extraordinarily difficult to find. And as a matter of fact, I had my surgery in Philadelphia and my therapy in Cleveland, and I was all over the map. And really started to think about why there couldn't be some sort of program for not only the injured golfer, but the golfer in pain and also the well golfer, that a group of people could be entwined in working together to get somebody back on track. And lo and behold, it was at the clinic. And I had been at another institution for a number of years and then joined the clinic and found out that really all the pieces, parts were here. Doctors, physical therapists, sports trainers, and really a cadre of wonderful people and one that I wanted to be involved in. And that's how I really got started working with some outstanding people, physicians, trainers, at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, come on. You know, nobody's listening to this. Are they that good? Come on. You're just being political now. Don't answer that.
I'm really not. I'm relatively candid about it. And it's very rare that you can find physicians in a group that have a special expertise and interest in golf with so many other ancillary staff, trainers, and physical therapists. What was also captivating, because of my injury, I ended up getting involved as a Titleist performance expert. And I'm a level three, but most of the people at the clinic end for trainers and physical therapists are also TPI certified. So we all really got an opportunity to speak our own language among, you know, physicians and trainers and other healthcare personnel that knew what to do for the injured golfer. So consequently, that was really a selling point. And if I'm political, it's because it's a unique situation.
Oh, well, thank you very much for straightening me out. Now, it's not golf specific. I mean, you continue to talk about golf because of the audience here, I'm sure. And let's be careful about moving papers next to a microphone. Because it's really loud. But
okay.
It's not golf specific. It is for everything from as simple as golf to extreme athletes. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm going to let Jeff take that one, though.
Okay.
Yeah, Fred. The clinic services, obviously, people with all kinds of problems. And we have a number of institutes that are specially driven that provide services for various musculoskeletal problems, heart issues, et cetera. So the athletes and the people we see can come with a variety of problems. But, you know, Fred's absolutely right. We really have developed a program that's, I think, unique in some ways that can offer people a variety of services that relate to golf. And we're finding that there are plenty of people interested.
Addressing issues that golfers, the average golfer has, whether it would be lower back problems or just flexibility and a golf fitness program. But before I do that, I'm actually interested in talking about Phil Mickelson and our concerns and prayers for him. But he, in last year, 2010, he was diagnosed with an arthritic condition, and I'm wondering if you guys can help us understand that a bit more and what it means in the long term for him.
Sure. Phil has psoriatic arthritis, and that is a condition that is actually an autoimmune condition. In other words, the body tends to fight against itself and not recognize itself as a friend. And this is a process that occurs actually in about 7.5 million patients who have cutaneous psoriasis, or just the skin involvement, and about 10 to 30% of those people can develop an arthritis of their knees, hands, lower back, feet. And this is quite debilitating, can destroy the joints, and certainly affects people between the ages of 30 and 50, most the large majority of that group. And up until approximately 10 years ago, there was really no specific successful therapy for both the skin and the joints. And certainly that changed when we developed a group of medications called the biologic drugs, which were simply drugs that affected the root of inflammation at its source. And for people today, not only who are functioning at levels certainly below Phil Mickelson's, but very high-functioning athletes are finding dramatic relief with these medications. And it's really taken my job as a rheumatologist, which before 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of instant gratification in what I did, to overnight really changing how we look at rheumatologic disease and how we can get people functioning at extremely high levels. And I think you witnessed that when Phil Mickelson finished at Firestone, at the Bridgestone in 2010. That was just before his diagnosis. And he was tied for 46th place and shot a 78 on his last day. And it was a couple of days later, a week later, when he had gone to another institution and diagnosis was made and he started therapy. And lots of medical people really wrote him off as somebody who could be competitive again. And obviously, 2-3 weeks ago, he won in Houston, which is a phenomenal feat. Again, you know, you're talking about an average guy that goes out to his local golf course and plays 18. We're not talking about that with him, obviously. This is a high-functioning, a highly competitive individual who went on to win a major venue. So that is really incredible.
Is he playing with a lot of pain?
According to, you know, again, according to news reports, he's fairly comfortable. This condition can involve, as a matter of fact, what he had said was he was having difficulty walking. And his symptoms started as early as the U.S. Open last year. And because I'm not involved in the case, you can surmise that there's one of a couple of things. Either this affected his back or his knees or his feet. In psoriatic arthritis, hands and feet can develop something called sausage digits, where your fingers actually look like sausages, or your feet actually, your toes look like sausages. And they can become extremely painful, difficult to walk, difficult to hold a golf club or grip a club, no less. And if this involved his back, he's not going to be able to give much of an X factor if his sacroiliac joints and his back are involved. And those are the key joints that a golfer uses when he tries to rotate his torso around his pelvis.
So I'm actually going to go back to that question about the amount of pain that he is or is not playing with, because you said based on the reports that you're getting, so what we're hearing from the press, what we're hearing from his doctors, which are basically what he's controlling, is saying nobody's to know if I'm in pain or not. But from your perspective as a rheumatologist and with the people that you've worked with, who have arthritis, do you buy it? Or do you think that he's really hurting?
No, I think given what he did the other week, mm-hmm. I think he's fairly pain-free. But more importantly, he probably doesn't have stiffness. Mm-hmm. And in these different conditions like psoriatic arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, stiffness is a major factor. People can wake up in the morning and have anywhere from 30 minutes to a couple of hours of stiffness. So again, in order to function at the level he was, he must be either very close to pain-free or very close to being stiffness-free.
I'm also intrigued by you mentioning that 7.5 million people have arthritis. It's a skin condition. I've never understood it being a skin condition. I've always thought it was the joints. Arthritis was associated with the joints, not the skin.
Well, actually, it's 7.5 million people have psoriasis as the skin condition.
Oh, psoriasis. Okay, that makes more sense.
Right.
And then 10 to 30% of them?
Absolutely. And the disease is often misdiagnosed. And, you know, often treated as just wear and tear arthritis, degenerative disc disease, or something else. And oftentimes the light bulb doesn't go off in the primary care physician's head to connect the psoriasis and the arthritis. In that group of people, we see some very typical changes with pitting of the nails. These people who are at high risk for the arthritis portion of psoriasis get nail pits. They look like some, if you took a pin and stuck it in the nail, you'd get a little pit, or they get ridging or lifting of the nails as well. Typically, about 80% of patients with psoriatic arthritis will have this pitting and lifting, which, by the way, goes away when we start treating them with the class of drugs that Phil Mickelson is taking.
You're making me nervous. I thought that being in my mid-50s here and waking up with, you know, lower back issues and stiff each morning, that all I need to do is turn on exercise TV and do, you know, a half hour to an hour of stretching, yoga, Pilates, and, you know, a little bit of cardio, and I'll be good for the day. Am I diagnosing myself here that I actually may have arthritis? Or is that just the nature of my age that I'm stiff?
You sound like a typical medical student that gets everything when they're in medical school, okay? You're perfect. You're like my son. But, in fact, 10 minutes of morning stiffness, 15 minutes of morning stiffness is not atypical for somebody who may be in the 45 to 65 age group. But we're talking about stiffness that can last 30 minutes or longer, and takes a lot more to get rid of. So I'm not concerned about you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But actually, this is a members only show, so I think I can say this. But I've noticed that the morning stiffness in my 50s is very different than morning stiffness in my 20s. Yes. We'll just keep going from that.
Me too.
That's actually fascinating. I just want to wrap up the Mickelson part and get into us as golfers. Do you think this is going to have an impact on the length of Mickelson's career? Will this cut it short?
That's a really great question. I think as it stands right now, he is almost 40 years old, I believe.
Just a child.
Like 38 years old. I don't think it's going to impact on his career as long as he can tolerate the medications. And, you know, the problem with these medications is that they do suppress your immune system, and they do make you susceptible to infections, specifically TB and histoplasmosis. So consequently, that's an issue, and he does require follow-up. But his early diagnosis was critical because there's things that happen to the sacroiliac joints and the back where you actually get fusion of these joints if you don't get on top of therapy and treat them very aggressively. So assuming he doesn't have any complications for the medications and his disease is well controlled, I don't see any reason why he can't have a very productive career at his level right now and end up on the Champions Tour someday as well. I'm very encouraged, but you know, obviously, as a physician, I end up couching a lot and being careful because you can't guarantee anybody anything.
Is Mickelson having this kind of giving the public an introduction to this disease? Is it now does psoriatic arthritis now have a face? You know, that it with this kind of exposure?
Oh, there's no question. It has a tremendous face. He has been, actually, he has been involved in ads, and I'm sure you've seen them.
Sure.
For the medication that he's on. And there's no question that it's given that condition a face, and a really positive face, and a very encouraging face. Again,
great.
You know, you've got a golfer that had a significant disease and just won a major professional golf tour victory.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like a Lou Gehrig's disease thing, which was tragic, but this is he's putting the positive spin on it from Phil Mickelson's disease.
Right.
May or may not be known as that.
And that's very true. And, you know, there are other, professional golfers who are out there who've had, you know, one in particular, Corey Pavin, mm-hmm. Has publicly said that he's got rheumatoid arthritis. Mm. And who knows where he would have gone on the professional tour had we had these medicines and had been able to have been aggressively treated and diagnosed initially. And there are other people, without going into names, there's a gentleman who is a golf professional who was on your program maybe a year or two ago, who had a condition similar to Phil Mickelson's, and had he been treated earlier, might have changed his career as well.
Am I allowed to ask you who you're talking about, or do I have to wait till after we're done recording?
After we're done, but really a delightful man who I've unfortunately, because he's not a patient, but he did take me into confidence, and you've had him on your program at least once before.
Really? Okay. Well, I will ask you afterwards, and to the rest of you, too bad. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
So does this mean that there is, for those people who like to play golf, who love to play golf, and have been diagnosed with some sort of arthritis, that there is hope that they don't have to just put their clubs away?
Absolutely not. I'm going to pass this to Jeff because this is right up his wheelhouse.
No.
Tossing softballs here, folks.
Yeah, I'm the second member of the foursome here. No, there's no question, Fred, that I think people with arthritis, as well as a lot of other musculoskeletal problems, can expect to play and play for many, many years. And I think actually, we encourage people that have those problems to play because we feel like the activity is good for them. You know, joints love to be moved, and it's valuable, and the activity and the exercise is very valuable for helping to kind of maintain the quality and the nutrition that those joints need.
So is there, I guess there's nothing you can do, I'll ask instead of assuming, is there anything that you can possibly do to be proactive to either stave off this condition, or once you get it, to physically work against it? Does that make sense?
Well, first of all, you end up having to define what kind of arthritis you have.
Okay.
And that's really very important. Approximately 20 million Americans have osteoarthritis, which is the arthritis of wear and tear, or degenerative joint disease, as they call it. And then there's a lesser number of people that can have gout, about 6 million people, and gout can affect people. And I get calls in July and August all the time from somebody calling from the golf course letting me know that they've had an acute flare of gout and what they should do about it on the 16th hole.
Why July and August?
But because in Cleveland it's hot and humid, and people like to drink, and people like to hydrate with beer. Okay, in Cleveland. So the combination of dehydration and alcohol usually equals an acute gouty flare in certain groups of people. But So defining the condition is very important, and then you can be proactive about it. And whether that is a visit to either a rheumatologist or a sports specific physician, be they orthopedic surgery or primary care, or to an athletic trainer like Jeff, that's where we're going. And then we can individualize our care and treatment based on what that particular person has. But for instance, I before we started the interview today, I saw a 78-year-old gentleman who we started talking about golf, and he said, you know, my shoulders are terrible, I have rotator cuff injuries, and I haven't been able to play golf in 2 years. And I said, well, you know, why is that? He said, well, I've sort of been afraid to play. Mm. And, you know, terrible. And you know, what's interesting, golf is the only sport that as we get older, we play more of, as opposed to, I don't think you're going out to play tackle football or soccer.
Or basketball.
At this point. or basketball, right.
Yeah.
So consequently, it becomes, at least for the recreational golfer, a really phenomenal way to socialize and to get out. And you've essentially taken that away from this gentleman. And that doesn't have to happen. Can you play competitively? Not necessarily at 78 years old, but you can still get out and play. And one of the things that Jeff does and the other athletic trainers and therapists is they're able to modify their swing based on the disability, but yet still keep them mobile and relatively flexible for the condition that they have. But not only that, and that's why it's so much fun taking care of this group of people and helpful, because we're able to go beyond just the muscles and joints and really look at their general health care. And oftentimes, you know, a fellow will tell me when I've been walking with him on the golf course that, you know, I just get more short of breath when I'm walking, and it just is uncomfortable for me. And it has nothing to do with their joints or their back. It has other, you know, other medical problems with it, whether that's heart or lung related. And we're really able, especially here at the Cleveland Clinic, able to really take care of the whole person and add to their quality of not only their golf game, but their life.
You know, Scott, you're talking about you discuss with your patients about their golf issues. I know that you're a long time, and I appreciate you being a long time listener. I hope you're an ambassador to this program as well. I hope you're telling people to listen to this show. Well, now that you've been on, you're definitely going to tell people to listen to this show, right?
Absolutely. Okay. And I do tell people. I've turned a lot of people on to the program.
Thank you very much. So let's
you're
talk
welcome.
About a,
you know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, Fred, you can actually help a lot of golfers because, I mean, I've been a very avid listener to your program and I guess a newer member to your thing. But, you know, golfers need to understand that they're the most valuable piece of equipment in their, quote, golf bag. And if they are proactive, they have a great opportunity to play more golf, to play more effectively. So, you know, we see a lot of golfers that, you know, they've invested a lot of money in their clubs and a variety of other things. And we try to make them understand that in addition to that, they need to prioritize for themselves their own health and their level of fitness. And quite frankly, I often have used the phrase, you know, 65 to 80 is middle age. You know, you can function very well at many ages. We have groups of golfers in our program that are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s participating, playing two or three times a week. So, you know, golf's really a lifetime sport.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important. Yeah. And exercise is critical. And so what someone does off the course can have a huge impact on how they might feel or even the amount of golf they might be able to play.
Well, I've stopped referring to it as middle-aged or as seniors. I just say that once you cross 50, you're on the back nine.
Well, I don't know.
It's not that bad.
The back nine of life. Absolutely. And what about, I know that there, and I really apologize for not concentrating more on this because I think it's a fascinating topic, but golfers with disabilities and people with disabilities that are participating in golf and succeeding in golf as well. Do you guys do any programs or work with people with disabilities that also play golf?
Yes, absolutely. It's been one of the most exciting things that I think we've done, or at least for me professionally, in over the last probably 7 to 10 years. We've actually partnered with the Northern Ohio Golf Association, which represents about 48 country clubs in Northeast Ohio. And out of their NOGA Charities and Foundation, we collaborated in running a program called Return to Golf. And they own and operate a small executive level golf course and have an indoor facility. So we have golfers with strokes, amputees, arthritis problems, low back issues, herniated discs, you know, knee replacements, you name it. Many of them that we found hadn't played for years, and they're out playing. And we have physical therapists working. They have a full-time golf professional, and we've been avidly involved. So no disability surprises me now, because we've been able to actually feel like golf has allowed them to improve the quality of the rest of their life.
Awesome. That's really fabulous. I appreciate the work you're doing. Do you know if that's also being done around the country? Are there more organizations like the Cleveland Clinic that are participating with golfers with disabilities?
Well, there's one that receives a fair amount of national attention, I think, called the Warrior, which I think was triggered or targeted towards veterans. There are some other programs that actually locally that also got involved with golfers called Challenge Golf, which is organized and run by another facility in the Akron area, and it's part of their rehab center. So in terms of other programs that are quite as comprehensive as ours, we're not familiar with it, but I think the opportunity is certainly there. And we're seeing more and more people contacting us saying, geez, I haven't played golf, you know, for 5 years, and is there any chance that I could get back? And we feel that, like, there are ways to get back.
Well, then I want to urge the Golf Smarter community to, if you come across, if you know of any programs locally, anywhere in the world, if you know of any programs that work with golfers with disabilities, please let me know, let the community know. Go to our Facebook group, the Golf Smarter Facebook group, and post that information. And also, as I'm urging Scott to be an ambassador to Golf Smarter, and let other people know that there is information about it and that we will post it. I think it's an important service that may not get the publicity it deserves. Gentlemen, this has been really fascinating. I'm sure we can spend time on golf fitness and what people can do proactively, but I think that's a completely different topic, and hopefully someday we'll get a chance to talk about it. But what we've covered today has been, again, what I like to do on Golf Smarter, is not just talk about instruction, is kind of take it all over the place. And this has been a valuable contribution. Thank you, Scott, for introducing it to me, and Jeff for coming on.
Thanks very much.
Fred, thanks. You've been great about giving tremendous information to all of us golfers, and we really appreciate it.